All right, so yeah, I really believe Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I really believe it's going to be a blessing to you all. And let's just open up with prayer, and we're going to jump right in. So again, if you got any questions or comments, Dre, I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying, jumping in. So feel free to jump in with questions or comments as we go along. Okay. All right, so Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being good. Lord God, our lesson today is aimed to help us find rest in you and not everyone and everywhere else. So, God, we thank you for providing and giving us rest. We thank you for everyone here who decided time to take out time just to get in your word a little more, Lord, and be encouraged. So God, we ask that you speak to all of us, Lord God, as your word goes forth during this teaching. And we really love you, and we thank you for loving us so much that your love is transforming us day by day to be more like you. So God, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your energy. We thank you for your inward transformation and formation you're doing within us slowly but surely every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I really believe today is going to be a blessing. Man, I really love this verse, and looking at this verse, you all, it is really special. It really is special. And I just want to encourage you just to spend some time with it and hear what Jesus is really saying to us. You know what I'm saying? I know all of us, like y'all, we're really busy. We got a lot going on. You know what I'm saying? And I don't take that lightly. I even think God doesn't take it lightly. I think God is almost like, listen, I know you're busy and you have a lot going on, but look, I'm trying to give you something. Okay, I'm trying to give you something. So today, excuse my raspy voice. Excuse me if I sneeze or if I start snotting everywhere and wiping it on my sweatshirt. It's okay. I got a washer and dryer, so afterwards I throw it in there. So if I'm a little nasty and ghetto, my bad. I forgot to bring tissue, is what it is. And I probably won't be, usually I'll be snapping and stuff. I probably ain't got that in me today, so I'm just gonna be like talking like this, you know what I'm saying, to help with my voice. But today I really want to talk about tired or being tired. And I really believe we got a lot of people in the body of Christ, which is, to me, this is wild, that know Jesus, but they tired, y'all. You know what I'm saying? They tired. And I'm not saying being tired is a totally bad thing, but there's a certain tiredness and weariness that Jesus came to heal and to give rest to, right? Like there's a lot of promises of rest, of rest in Christ. So today we're going to walk through some scriptures and some teaching. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need at the right time, right? And what we're doing with tired or being tired, we're exchanging the altar of achievement for alignment with Christ. Exchanging the altar of achievement for alignment with Christ. And in all transparency, on Saturday, I'm going to teach at a young adult conference in Lansing, Michigan, where a whole bunch of colleges are getting together. And this is what I'm teaching it. Now, I'm not calling it tired of being tired. On Saturday, I'm calling it the hustle trap. Okay, the hustle trap. So as I was preparing this, I really thought this would be beneficial for all of us as we gather here on today. Val, welcome. Glad to have you. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Okay.
Of course, glad to be here.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna read what I read on Sunday to kind of open up, and then we're gonna dive right into Matthew. Well, I got a whole bunch of stuff we're gonna dive into, but we're gonna end up in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. That's where we're going to end up at.
Man, I ain't even got no Bible. This is crazy.
Okay, we'll figure it out. All right, so here we go. So the great, this is from John Mark Comer, and I want to quote him word for word. I just think it's powerful, and it's amazing. And it reads, "The great paradox of Jesus' teaching is this: as long as you need your life to go a certain way to be happy and at peace, you will never be happy and at peace. Instead, you will live with a nagging undercurrent of fear, what Jesus called anxious care. This underlying fear will sabotage your happiness and your growth into a person of love. Because as long as we need our lives to go a certain way to be okay, despite our best intentions to love, we will manipulate, bully, and hurt others around us to whenever they get between us and our attachments. The difference between the spiritually mature and immature is this: the mature are willing to suffer pain rather than cause pain. They surrender to God in their pain. This is the end goal of our spiritual journey: trust and surrender to Jesus as our one true source of happiness and peace. Suffering is a gift no one wants. We can attach to him in a different way, and peace is gained through loss and suffering." All right, so that's John Mark Comer words, powerful words. And what I'm talking about today is really an invitation to a way of life. And a lot of the things we're going to be doing with our ministry, we're inviting people to a certain way of life, okay? Which is an absolute game changer. It's a slow process, but if all of us continue to stick with the process, we're going to look up in 6 months to a year from now and be blown away at what God has done in our life. All right. It's going to be pretty cool. Okay. So the word Christian is capitalized because the word Christian is a title. Okay. The word disciple is not capitalized because it's a way of life. And oftentimes, just because we carry the title of Christian, it does not mean we are living the way as a Christian by being a disciple. All right. I hope that makes sense. So you can have a title at your job, but no one respects you, no one follows you, no one listens to you. The only authority you have is a title, but the title doesn't hold weight. And then you can have other individuals at your job with no title or a low title, and everything they say, it goes because the way that they live their life holds influence and weight. Okay? A title can only be claimed, but a way of life, it must be practiced. All right? So when I say a way of life, it assumes that it's a practice. Okay? And I really want to. I'm going to do this again. Some of you heard this before, but I wanted you to get this in your spirit because of things that we're talking about. I just don't want, I don't want to be the only one who know it. I really want you to know this stuff, to research it. And my prayer is that you will know more word than me, that you know more context than me. Like through this ministry, we looking at, sending people to seminary school, the whole nine, because we really, the pastor or leader should not be the only one who's in their word following Jesus. All right. Everybody should be following Jesus. Okay. That's the kind of the purpose of the church, right? So the pastor shouldn't be the most spiritual person. Everybody should be spiritual. Okay. So in the first century, back in Jesus's day, a disciple was not simply a student who sat in the classroom like we do today in America, where we just sit in the classroom and we take in all this information. A disciple was an apprentice who attached himself to a rabbi, and he gave his entire life to becoming like that rabbi in every way possible. Okay, think about this now. This is just not Jesus. Like, throw Jesus out the way for a moment. Back in the day in the first century, this is how people learned to be a rabbi, is through being an apprentice and attaching themselves to the rabbi, followed them everywhere they went. The goal was not to master rabbi content. Y'all hear me, y'all. Okay. The goal was to become the kind of person the rabbi was. It wasn't to learn all of the scriptures or all of the rules and be head genius. It was to become a type of person the rabbi was, right? So Dallas Willard, he'll talk about and describe the disciple as someone who was with Jesus, learning to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus for the sake of others and the entire world. Okay. So our spiritual growth is just not information only. If it's information only, you've missed the point. If it's memorizing scripture only, you miss the point. If it's what you know, you miss the point. Okay? So many people hold the title of Christian, and then we carry the weight of career decisions, of life transitions, and we don't know what our future looks like. On like we don't we carry that weight on our shoulders, like what the future will look like. A disciple carries those things differently because a disciple doesn't carry all that alone. They carry that with Jesus. Okay. So, and this is where the difference is. You have one person without Jesus or without following Jesus, right? And they got their career on their back, their family on their back, the pressure of the world to provide and their future and all these questions on their back. But then you got another person with the same things on their back, but they're following Jesus, which makes a profound difference. And if there's no difference in between the two, then what are we doing? Like, real talk. All right. Like, what in the world are we doing? So yes, we're carrying a lot of the same things, but there should be a difference in us if we're following Jesus. All right. So my question to all of us is, are we living as someone who holds a title or someone who is actively participating a way of life with Jesus? So are we just holding the title of Christian or are we participating in the way of Jesus? Okay. So sometimes we overlook this in scripture. Okay. Jesus did not begin his public ministry until he was 30 years old. All right. Thank you, iPhone. I see that you said that that was impactful. Oh, that's T. All right. I was like, who? iPhone. T. Thank you. I appreciate it, T. Okay. So he, and this was not incidental. Okay, this was actually intentional. All right, watch this, y'all. I need y'all to get this. I need y'all to get this in y'all spirit. Under the Jewish educational tradition, boys begin their formal education around 5 years old. Okay, it's called like the house of learning. It's called Bet Sefer. Okay, this is where they start learning the Torah. By the age of 10, they probably would memorize the entire Torah, the first five books of the Bible, they would have had memorized: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or Deuteronomy, Numbers. I always get them mixed up. Forgive me. Okay. So from ages 5 to 10, they have all these scriptures memorized. From age like 10 to 14, they go to the next phase. Now, only the best of the best of the best will move on to the next phase. Only the elite. So if you weren't elite in what you were learning in this Jewish school, you will go learn and apprentice the family trade. All right. Think about Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He was fishing for his family. He didn't make it. He wasn't the best of the best of the best students. He got kicked out of that school and went to go learn how to become a master fisherman. All right. Matthew was a tax collector, family trade. Okay. By the age of 10 and 14, they're learning how to interpret the scripture. They memorize the first five books of the Bible. Now they're learning all the oral histories and stories and stuff. And then from the ages of 15 to 30, if they were good enough, they will walk up to their rabbi and say, May I be your disciple? That rabbi will then test them through answering all types of questions. And only if the rabbi was satisfied with the answers, the rabbi will say, now I ain't talking about Jesus now. The Jewish rabbi in the first century would say, come and follow me. They will follow that rabbi around for 15 years before becoming a rabbi. Okay? So Jesus did not receive the invitation from a rabbi because he was the rabbi. He was God in the flesh. So he submitted fully to the human formation. He went through the schooling. If you remember when Jesus and his family, Mary and Joseph, when they were traveling during, I believe, one of the festivals, and Jesus left his mom and like they were gone. They said, oh, where is Jesus? Where was he at? He was in the temple with the scribes, learning basically the word of God. He was in school. He said, I gotta be about my father's business. There are some things he had to learn even as a young boy. Okay. So for 30 years, Jesus was being formed before he was sent. All right. Jesus was being formed before he was sent. All right. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying all of this, we're going somewhere. Okay. We're going somewhere. Okay. So because I want to ease your minds that like you don't have to have it all figured out right now. Like that's what I'm trying to tell you. Because Jesus had this process he went through. Sometimes, especially in this American culture, we think we got to have it all figured out right now. I don't care if you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, or your 60s, or your 70s, you don't have to have it all figured out by now. All right. So I really want us to kind of take a deep breath and be encouraged. Like, listen, you're good right where you're at. The one who holds your future, okay, has submitted himself to 30 years of preparation before stepping out publicly and doing ministry. He understands what it feels like to wait, to work faithfully and being unseen, and to trust the Father's timing over cultural pressure. All right. So your season of transition is not a detour, it's formation. God is helping you become the type of person who looks like Jesus and will do what Jesus does. Okay. So there's a very important scripture that gets in the way of all this, and that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. All right. My bad. I wish I could go harder, y'all. I wish I could. My voice won't let me, okay? All right. I feel myself getting juiced up. Here we go. 1 John 2, 15 and 17. This is what it says in an NLT version. It says, do not love the world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see. Watch this. And pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. The world is passing away along with everything that people crave. The one who does what pleases God will live forever. Notice that one phrase, pride in our achievements and possessions. Okay. Sometimes our careers, our money, and our possessions, they're idolatry, and sometimes we don't even know it. All right. It rarely announces itself or shows up. It grows quietly in the space where our identity should be rooted in God, but instead it becomes rooted in what we produce, where we work, our titles, and what others perceive about us being successful. John is not saying ambition is self-sinful or selfish. Like there takes a certain amount of ambition to do everything that God has called you to do. So don't get it twisted about you being ambitious. Like we need to go get it. But what he is saying, when our achievements and our definitions of success become the altar where we worship, now we have set up an idol. Okay? All right. The world measures everything based off of what we achieve, what we earn, where we work, our title, our possessions, and all that type of stuff. And guess what? What the world offers, that produces weight, that produces stress, that produces weariness. All right. Jesus offers us something that the world cannot create nor take away. He offers our identity as a beloved child of God, a purpose rooted in his kingdom, and peace that's not contingent on circumstances. All right. Come on, y'all. That's where we're trying to get to. Peace that it doesn't matter my circumstance, I still have peace. And we have to be real with ourselves and say, okay, even though I have all this going on, do I have peace? And if the answer is no, that's okay. But at least now you can say, okay, I am trusting for my peace somewhere else. God, help me get realigned to trust in you where I get my peace from you no matter my circumstances. Okay, here we go. Let's dive into Matthew 11. That's where we want to get to. Matthew 11. All right. I love this scripture, especially when it's taught right. Guys, some of these scriptures, everybody got different teachers and stuff, so I ain't gonna mess with nobody. All right. So, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'm gonna read it real quick. It says, "Come to me." This is Jesus talking not only to his disciples, but in this moment, there's a crowd of people who are weary, who are tired. Jesus just got done praying. He just got done talking about John the Baptist. He just got done saying woe to these cities because they experienced and witnessed the miracles of Jesus and they still didn't repent. And this is why people are so they're so hungry and thirsty for miracles. But Jesus, like, even if I did the miracle, you still wouldn't repent. So Jesus, like, woe to you, all these cities and stuff, because I came to your city, I healed, I rose the dead, I opened blind eyes, I did all this stuff, and you still didn't repent. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to experience all of God's blessings and his goodness and his love lavished on my life, and I still don't repent. All right, my bad. Here we go. Matthew 11, 28 through 34. All right, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Come on. I just want to pause real quick. If you feel like you carry like some heavy burdens, can I get a thumbs up in the chat? Thumbs up, chat, something. Okay, Maisha, I see your thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? Some motion in ocean in the chat or on your video screen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got some heavy burdens. I got some heavy burdens. Yep. Thumbs up. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm carrying some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Val. I appreciate it. I'm carrying some stuff. There's some stuff that people don't understand about me. There's some stuff that I'm struggling with. There's some stuff I got questions about. There's some stuff I'm wrestling with, right? I got some burdens. Like, people don't understand me. And this is what I love about the word, because the word is going to locate where you are. Look what Jesus said, y'all. I love Jesus. Look, he said, come to me. He didn't say, come to religion. I'm getting ahead of myself. My bad. He didn't say, come to church. Come on, y'all. He did not say come to follow all the rules. Jesus said, come to me, a person. Like, this stuff is important because we can translate, we got people interpreting come to me means come to Bible study or come to a prayer service or come to a worship service. No, Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say, come to no pastor. He didn't say, come to no teacher. He didn't say, come to no famous person. He didn't say, come to no money. Jesus said, come to me. And I'm just curious. I'm like, Lord, like we live in a world where we going to everybody else but Jesus with the title of Christian. So Jesus says, come to me, you who are, and he details Who should come to me? He's don't come to Jesus strong. Don't come to Jesus knowing it all. Don't come to Jesus all everything is fine. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. My bad. I'm supposed to be reading the verse. Okay, then I teach it. I'm sorry. I just get juiced up. I'm talking. Oh, my bad. Here we go. And I, who? Not your job, not your parents, not your family, not your situation being all in the clear, not your problems going away, not your money coming into your bank account. He said, I will give you rest. We're looking for our problems to go away, and we say, if our problems go away, I will have rest. If I have more money, I will have rest. If I could go on vacation, I will have rest. Jesus said, I will give you rest. My only question for you is, do you believe in what Jesus said? That's a question for you. That he can give you something that you're seeking. He says, take my yoke upon you. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus said, you got to carry a burden, but it's not going to be heavy. The one I give you is going to be light. Now, remember now, we established already in the beginning of our talk today that this verse is not. Well, hold on. Oh, yeah. That this verse, like, we're just not talking about, like, the audience. It's a public audience, but it's not an American audience. When Jesus spoke, these people knew what yoke meant. He was speaking the language of discipleship and inviting people into his way of life. Jesus and the people he were talking to understood exactly what Jesus was saying in the beginning. Appreciate you, Dre. I appreciate you, bro. He understood immediately. They understood immediately what Jesus was saying. So that's why sometimes we read scripture and we're like, okay, I see what he's saying, but I don't know. We have to go back to the first century to really understand the weight of what Jesus is saying. When Jesus says, come to me, he's using the same language a rabbi used to call a disciple. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He's saying, follow me, learn my way of living, adopt my interpretation of what it means to be fully human, and you will find rest that no career title, that no salary, that no achievement can provide. I feel my help coming, y'all. Jesus is using discipleship language here, and everybody knew what he was saying. He was talking as a rabbi, saying, if you come to me and adopt my way of living and learn from me, adopt my interpretation, what it means to be human, you will find rest that you can't find nowhere else. Come on. This is the great promise that I want to make as a beloved Church of Kalamazoo. And it's a dangerous promise, but I'm trusting in Jesus that Jesus will make it happen. That if you adopt the way of the way of Jesus and you become his disciple and start being with him, then you will start becoming like him. And then you'll start doing what he did. I can promise you, you will have rest. All right, here we go. So we got some anchors, okay? We got some anchors, and but let's just kind of dive a little more deeper. Now, we got rest twice. There's two different Greek meanings for the word rest. I'm not going to try to pronounce the words. Okay, I can barely speak these English words, let alone Greek, okay? So we got two rests. The first rest is, all right, and let me read the verse again. It says, Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. That rest means an immediate relief from labor. It is the rest that comes when you finally put down a load that was too heavy for you to carry. Jesus is speaking to the person who's been grinding, who's been striving, who's been bare knuckling it, who's been staying up late and waking up early. Jesus is saying, put it down. You weren't meant to carry the entire world. Put it down. You were not meant to carry what you're carrying alone. Put it down. Stop performing for other people who don't even like you and start trusting in the love, grace, mercy, patience, and beauty of Jesus. Jesus said, I come to give you rest, and you can have rest today if you decide to put it down. I'm not designed to carry your armor. I'm not designed to meet all your expectations of me. It's too much for me to carry. I gotta put it down. Come here, David. David was supposed to fight Goliath, and David said, I'll go fight this heathen Philistine. And David and Saul said, okay, David, I'm excited. Let's go get him. Let me give you the best armor. And Saul gave King David his armor. It was too heavy for him to carry. The little boy couldn't even pick up the sword. And he said, this is not me. This is uncomfortable. This is not what God called me to come. I got to get up out this armor because I got to lay down that burden and I got to do me. So he picked up five smooth stones, one for each Goliath. It was more than one Goliath, but all of them ran after the first one. And he swung that slingshot and hit him right between the forehead and the eyes. And he cut off his head because he defiled the Lord our God. Because he laid down his burden. He laid down the expectations of other people. So that's the first rest. You can get that right now by putting it down. And the thing is, and this is what I love as we get into the second rest, the thing is, you have to practice putting it down. You got to, every day, you got to wake up and put it down until it becomes part of you. And this is just who you are. All right. The second rest. Okay, this is a totally different kind of rest. All right, this is not a moment. This is a condition. Man, I need y'all to get this. This is the deep, settled, and ongoing peace of a soul that has been genuinely and authentically formed by Jesus over time. You don't find this rest by simply deciding to worry less. You find this rest by taking his yoke upon you. All right. So you like, okay, Mo, the people in the first century, they understood the yoke. What does the yoke mean? Here we go. In the Jewish first century culture, every rabbi had a yoke. A yoke was not a burden. A yoke was a rabbi's particular interpretation of the Torah. It was the rabbi's way of following God and his philosophy of life. That is the yoke. The yoke describes how Jesus follows God. Okay, so when the rabbi invited a disciple to take his yoke upon him, he was saying, come learn it my way. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come live how I live. Come see the world as I see it. And I promise you, if you can take the yoke of God, God is inviting you into this thing through these spiritual disciplines to take his yoke upon you. Learn to see it his way. Come live how Jesus is living. This is why Jesus says immediately after take my yoke, his next words is, let me teach you. Jesus is saying, there are some things I want to teach you. There are some things I want to show you. There are some things I want to deposit in your life, but you too busy running around. You too busy. I can't catch up to you. I can't find you. I can't locate you. I can't speak to you. You're too worried about this and worried about that and stressed about this. Lay down those burdens and allow Jesus to teach you. That's what it means. Jesus' yoke is unlike every other rabbi's yoke. Jesus was not the only rabbi in the day. There were many rabbis in the day. Jesus is the master rabbi. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come on, y'all. All the other rabbis' yoke was heavy, steeped in traditions. You got to keep all 613 laws of Moses. You got to do all these things and jump through all these hoops just to become a rabbi. And now that's going to tell on the Pharisees and Sadducees when you look at them as scripture. And that's why Jesus was on their head, because he was saying, read Matthew chapter 23. Jesus was saying, you burden the people with all these laws and you don't even keep them. Doesn't that remind you of some people today? Like, let's just be real. You know what I'm saying? Spiritual leaders today burdening people with all these laws and they don't even keep them. Lord, my God. Okay, my bad. Let me not step on nobody's toes. Here we go. So Jesus' yoke is easy and is light. Easy means it's custom made just for you. I love it, y'all. Jesus just doesn't give you a yoke that's one size fits all. Jesus gives you the yoke that fits your personality, gives you the yoke that fits your background, gives you the yoke that fits your destiny, gives you the yoke that fits your calling, gives you the yoke that's been tailor-made, crafted just for you, so you can do the good works God created for you before the foundation of the world. I love it, y'all. It's custom made. That's how Jesus made everybody custom made. And his yoke is custom made. All right. So he's offering you a life that's designed specifically how God made you. His yoke does not damage you, it develops you. Come on, I gotta say that again. His yoke does not damage you, his yoke develops you. The progression of the text is clear. You come weary from striving. Verse 28 gives you release and say you no longer have to strive. You can take his yoke and learn his way of life. And then verse 29 provides and produces transformation, that rest that takes a lifetime. The first rest happens when you stop. The second rest happens when you've been walking with Jesus long enough and peace becomes your permanent address, not just an occasional visitor. That's the invitation of Jesus. And you're like, okay, Mo, I love it. How in the world are we going to do that? You already know what I'm going to say. You already know what I'm gonna say. You already know. The first and fi most foundational practice of a disciple is presence. Before you do anything for Jesus, you must be with him. This is not passive. This is the most countercultural act available to a generation drowning in productivity culture. This is the most asinine, most radical thing you can do in a culture that tells us you gotta grind, you gotta go get it, you gotta get it out the mud, you gotta do all this. And Jesus said, come sit down with me and be in my presence. And Jesus is telling us he can do more when we are sitting with him, being in his presence, that it will blow our mind what he can do if we just trust him and be with him. Being with Jesus means slowing your life down long enough to actually practice the spiritual disciplines, prayer, silence, solitude, meditation, the Sabbath, Bible study, reading your word, reading books, journaling. Being with Jesus, your mind is on Christ. Being with him. This is practicing the way what we've been talking about over and over and over again. And this is what I want every single person in the world just to be with Jesus. The stress you feel about your career and your future is not a career and future problem. It's a formation problem. We cannot hear the voice of God when our life is moving too fast. That's just a fact. Now, you ain't got to take my word for it. Look at your own life, look at how fast you're moving, and look if you're hearing God or not. Like, do your own test. Okay? The invitation of Matthew 11, 28 is not, it doesn't come with performing. Jesus didn't say, do all, obey all my commandments. He said, come sit your butt down and rest. Mary and Martha. He said, Mary chose the better thing. Martha, you running around with like a chicken with your head cut off. I ain't taking away this from Mary. Sit down and rest. Be present with the one who knows your name. Be present with the one who knows your future. Be present with the one who knows your next step. It's the, you ain't got to guess it. He'll tell you if you sit down. My bad. Here we go. Discernment practice. So set aside 15 minutes every day. Sit in silence. Okay. This is a hard. People don't like doing this. I got, you could do, I'm just going to give you some tips. Take it or leave it. You know, who am I? Take it or leave it. One, brain dump. A lot of times we got so many thoughts in our head. Get three sheets of paper and just write. I don't care if it's good, bad, or evil. Write. Don't judge it. You're not about to read it. You're not about to do anything with it. You're going to dump all your thoughts on three pages of paper. You're going to throw the paper away. Then you're going to sit in silence. Because what when you're doing that, you have all this junk in your brain that when you start to sit in silence, you're gonna start thinking of all that stuff. Instead of thinking about it, you get most of it out by just writing it down. Then sit in silence, in solitude, and say, God, speak to me. All right. Then after you be with Jesus, you're gonna become like Jesus. Okay. And listen, like becoming like Jesus. And I'm learning this, especially with this ministry. I'm holding the ministry loosely, meaning I'm not saying we're going to do this. Nope. I'm saying we might do this. God, you can change anything you want to change. I don't know anything. At first, I had all these thoughts. We're going to do this, 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 and this. God, like, hold all of it loosely. He's not saying it's all bad, but he's saying if the Holy Spirit wants to adjust, make a move, do something that I wasn't expecting, guess what? I'm going to hold it loosely. This is part of becoming like Jesus. It's transforming the way I think and behave and process. This is not a one-time event. Becoming like Jesus is a slow, daily, and sometimes painful work of allowing the Holy Spirit to reshape your desires, your responses, your fears, and your ambitions. I'm telling you right now, most Christians don't want to do the work of a disciple. I know that's hard to hear sometimes, but it's just the truth. There's a, like, I don't even want to call myself a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple. I'm an apprentice. Because most Christians don't want to do this work. Let's just be real. All right. So this is where our characters form, and then we want to do what Jesus did. Okay. A disciple just don't study the teaching of Jesus. A disciple practices them in real life, in real time, in the real world. We hide in church, y'all. We ain't got no ministries in church. All right. We're gonna be nice to people. We're gonna love people. We gotta do some things to serve our kids and serve stuff, but there ain't gonna be no real deep ministries in church like that. Okay, all the ministries is going to be outside the church. It's going to be on your job. It's going to be wherever you go. It's going to be a part of the boards you sit on. It's going to be a part of your network. It's going to be a part of your family. That's where the real ministry is. That's where we're going. Jesus was not sitting down. Like, look at the life of Jesus. He was not sitting down, just chopping it up, preaching, teaching, hooping and hollering in the church. Jesus was walking around impacting lives. So we're going to do what Jesus did. Okay? Excuse me. So listen, y'all. We got to tear down these false idols. And we got to be honest. All right? We got to tear down the altar of achievement and the belief that our career, our title, our status, our money, our success is a source of our security, identity, and peace. Tearing it down does not mean you stop planning. It does not mean you stop working hard. It does not mean you don't care about your future. It does not mean you don't dream and go after your dreams. It does not mean you don't start like you just stop doing everything and just saying, Jesus, bring it to me. No, you need to apply for the job. You need to put in work. You need to do what you do, but it means that you stop worshiping it. And just because you don't have it yet, or you haven't touched it yet, or you don't possess something, meaning you all depressed, sad, and toe up from the flow up, when God said, I'm gonna give you peace, and it doesn't matter what your circumstances is, you gonna have peace with me. All right. So remember how we started, y'all. Appreciate y'all comments. John Mark Comer told us, and I'm closing, that the great paradox of Jesus' teaching, as long as we need our life to go a certain way to be at happy and at peace, we'll never be happy and at peace. As long as we need that title, that salary, and for our plan to work out exactly how we drew it up, we will spend our entire life one setback away from a crisis. With the nagging undercurrent of fear will follow us into every interview, into every performance review, into every uncertain season. It will sabotage our peace before we even know what happened. The only way to tear down the altar of achievement is to stop needing it. Come on. I need somebody to stop needing it right now. You need too many hand claps. You need too many affirmation. You need too many degrees. You need too many accolades and social status. The only way to tear down that altar, to get rid of the idol, is you have to stop needing it and depending on it for your happiness and your peace. And the only way to stop needing it is to find in Jesus what you're looking for. And you like, Mo, what am I looking for? You're looking for security. You're looking for identity. You're looking for purpose. And you're looking for Jesus. I mean, peace. All this is found in Jesus. Matthew 11, 28. That's what it's offering you. Come to him from all the striving. Let him relieve the burden. Take his yoke. Learn his way. Walk with him long enough for that second rest, that deep, unsettled, unshakable rest becomes the ground you stand on every single day. When Jesus is your one true source of happiness and peace, everything else becomes rest when you're doing it. You can hold your plans loosely because your identity is not in the outcome. Why am I juiced up, y'all? I'm juiced up because God is teaching me in this season, Mo, your identity is not in the outcome. Your identity is not in the numbers. Your identity is not in how many people show up. Your identity is not in the applause. Your identity is in me. And that just makes me happy, y'all. All right. Okay, y'all. Any questions? Y'all talk to me. Y'all talk to me. Any questions? We cool? We good? We good? Any comments? Any comments with questions? We cool? We cool? We cool? All right.
Bro.
I had something real quick. I had recently just studied this actually. This is Andre. I had recently just studied the verses that you were just talking about, and I just wanted to share one that I had got about the yoke and the oxen and everything like that. It said that I was doing some studying on it, and it said that the oxen, when they're working together, like Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." You're working with him, right? So he said, no, I have looked it up. It said about the yoke. It said that the oxen need to have a shared, synchronized movement to avoid crooked, inefficient tilling of the ground. So I just worded that and said, so work can be done well, you have to share the movement with Jesus. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's so much in that, man. But yeah.
It is because you have to be, as you said, you got to be synchronized in your movement. So if Jesus is walking with his yoke and you're connected to him and you're running, you will mess around and hurt yourself. Or, and I love the producing and tilling of the ground. That's a whole nother thing as well. But no, I appreciate you sharing that. And there's some other sweet scriptures about yoke in the book of Proverbs, I believe, as well, that I think might blow your mind as well. So no, I appreciate that, bro. And you all, we can do this, but you have to start playing the long game. Okay. I know we have needs right now. I know it. Okay. But we have to play the long game. And God will take care of, he's been taking care of us. Okay, let me say this, y'all. We got to like really change our perspective because I think sometimes when we're going through stuff, we act like God not providing for us. He really is taking care of us. God did not promise us we won't go through anything, but he did promise us all of our needs will be met. And if we be honest, we need air, we breathe it. We need water, we drink it. We need food, we eating. We need shelter, we got it. Right? Like, God has given us a lot, y'all. Like, he's blessing us. So he's going to take care of our now, but we got to play the long game and becoming like Jesus and walking this walk out patiently. Okay. And allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us where our change is permanent. We don't want to force the change and try to put on for people. And then a year from now, we fall off the wagon because the change wasn't real. It was all for show. Okay. So that's what we want to prevent here. But the only way to do that, y'all, to be honest, you have to put in the work as a disciple. Okay. I can't even hold you up. You got to put in the work for the as a disciple. I got to continue to put in work as a disciple, me myself. But I can speak for my own life, and I know the work I've put in as a disciple. You know what I'm saying? And I have to continue that work. This is a lifelong process of putting in that work of being with Jesus. Lord, I'm gonna be with you. All right. So I just want to encourage you, the choice is yours. We can't make you, can't force you. Like, you have to make a conscious decision, Lord, I'm gonna follow you. Because I'm not no priest. Okay, I'm gonna pray for you, but you could go to Jesus yourself. That's why he died. You could hear him for yourself. All right. I love that. All right. You can hear him for yourself. So if you have any questions, if you need anything, please let me know. Please pray when I go to sleep, when I wake up, my body is in my nose and sinuses is completely normal. And yeah, I love y'all and I hope to see you all on Sunday, okay? And I think we're going to be talking about sin a little bit and healing from sin. Healing from sin, if I'm not mistaken. But I love you all and have a great night. All right? Have a great night. If all hearts' minds are clear, have a great night. God be with you. God bless you. And I'll see y'all Sunday.